Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. God bless you. Please open your Bibles today. I would like to continue the study together of the prophet Zephaniah. And this prophecy of Zephaniah deals with the day of the Lord, with Yom Yehovah, Yom Adonai. So please open your Bibles, because we are going to continue today with our study. And we are going to speak and share together from Zephaniah, Zephaniahu in Hebrew, chapter 2, verses 4 to verse 15. And of course, the theme, we can say, of this passage deals with the coming day of the Lord, the coming judgment of the day of the Lord upon Israel's neighboring enemies. You will notice that the day of the Lord, Yom Yehovah, is to be contrasted from Yom HaMashiach, the day of Messiah. It to be contrasted with the day of God. And those are different purposes that the Lord had given to us when he mentioned these things. The day of Christ, the day of Messiah, has to do with the church, the heavenly company, are going to be in the presence of the Lord and enjoy his presence in the future day. The day of God has to do with the eternal order, as Peter has mentioned. The day of God will come, where there will be that new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness will dwell, where there will be this eternal order. But beloved brothers and sisters, the day of the Lord, Yom Yehovah, which is mentioned over 19 times or so in the Tanakh, and mentioned at least 3 or 4 or 5 times in the Brit HaChadashah, in the New Covenant. So both the Hebrew prophets and the New Testament writers spoke about the day of the Lord, Yom Yehovah, and we have already learned that Yom Yehovah, the day of the Lord, has to do with the coming judgment of the tribulation period, which will culminate with the second coming of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, who will come to reign and rule and establish a wonderful time of a messianic kingdom. Well, let me read from chapter 2, Zephaniah 2, verse 4, to the end of the chapter, and please follow me. We read in verse 4, "For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Kerethites! The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistine. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant, and the seacoast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ashkelon. Shall they lie down in the evening? For the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the reveling of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnify themselves against their borders. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah. Even the feeding of nettles and salt pits and the perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. They have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. And we read in verse 12, Ye Ethiopia, also ye shall be slain by my sword, and he will stretch out his hand against the north, and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation, and dry like a wilderness, and flocks shall lay down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant and the bittern, shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the threshold, for he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly and said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lay down? In every one that passes by her shall hiss and wag his hand. And this is the end of the reading for this ministry. Beloved brothers and sisters, and as I mentioned earlier, the passage that we are dealing with in this ministry meeting is found in Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 to 15. Now, to remind you again, beloved brothers and sisters, that the study of the prophecy of Zephaniah deals with the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, of course, is the day of judgment. It's a very, very, very sad period of time of history that will yet come to pass in the future day, which is called by our Lord Yeshua the Messiah in Matthew chapter 24, a tribulation day. The prophet of Israel, Jeremiah, called it in chapter 30 and verse 7, Tzarat Yaakov, Jacob's trouble. And indeed, it will be a terrible, terrible time in which God will unleash his judgment upon all the nations of the world, but he will also punish his own people, the people of Israel, in order to refine them and restore them and bring them into the Messianic kingdom to fulfill all the promises that he promised Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Zephaniah, who was writing sometime at about 640 BC, was contemporary of Habakkuk and also Jeremiah, and he wrote in during this time that he had received his ministry, he wrote concerning this particular day of the Lord. In fact, the whole theme of Zephaniah is the day of the Lord. You remember in our previous meeting together, we receive a description of the day of the Lord, which is found in chapter 1 and verse 15. It says here, it says that that day will be is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, a day of distress, a day of wasteness, a desolation, a day of darkness, gloominess, a day of clouds, a day of thick darkness, a day of trumpet, and a day of alarm. That's what the Word of God tells us about that day of the Lord. You remember in Zephaniah 1 verse 14, it said, The great day of the Lord is near, it is near and hasteth greatly. even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty men shall cry there bitterly. And so this is a terrible time that is yet approaching this world, this universe. And remember that we have also mentioned the purpose of this day of the Lord, as the prophet Daniel received this information, of course, from the angel, that this day will come in order to do six things. And you remember in Daniel chapter 9, and I mentioned it more than one time, but I want to mention this once again. Daniel chapter 9, we read in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Thy people is the Jewish people, the people of Israel. Thy city is the city of Jerusalem. Now, what would be the purpose that these 70 weeks of years, 490 years, it will be divided into section, which will culminate with the final week, which is final 7 years and the last days, that will be brought about in order to, number one, to finish transgression, number two, to make an end of sins, number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity, number four, to bring an everlasting righteousness, number five, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and number six, to anoint the most holy one, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the most holy temple, the Messianic temple that will yet come to be established during the time of the Messianic kingdom. So, beloved brothers and sisters, and my dear friend, God must judge sin in order for him to reign over a world that have turned away from him. He is still rejected today. The vast majority of the world in which we live in still say, we will have not this man to rule over us. The vast majority of the world still say today, we will have no God to rule over us, not the Messiah to rule over us. And this day of judgment will come in order that God will be all in all, and the Messiah, Yeshua, will reign supreme. The psalmist of Israel asked the question in the second psalm, and he said, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine vain things. The king of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Jehovah, against the Lord, and against his Mashiach, saying, against Meshicho, his anointed one, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Many still saying it today, beloved brothers and sisters, and if any one of us became a believer in the Mashiach, in the Messiah, and we have accepted that Yeshua is our Lord and our Savior, and have accepted the Word of God as indeed the Word of God, we are, by the grace of God, have been brought in, so we will never need to be judged. The judgment that will come upon humanity is upon those who refuse to accept the Messiah, they refuse to accept God, and ultimately they will face the judgment of God. And so you notice now in the passage that we read, in Zephaniah, the meaning of his name, Zephaniah, Zephan is hid, put it down deep to hide and to preserve, and Yah is simply a short form of Jehovah, Jehovah. Jehovah will preserve the remnant of Israel in order to fulfill his program and plan for his own people Israel, as he had promised through the covenant that he made with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov and Israel in days of old. So, in order to bring it to pass, he will have to judge his very own people, those who reject him, and he will have to deal with them to eventually refine them and preserve a remnant for himself to establish the kingdom. But he also will have to judge the nations that have become over the generations his own enemies and the enemies of the people of Israel. And this is what we see in this passage. Zephaniah chapter 2 verses 4 to verse 15 deals with the nation that surround Israel in the north and the south and the east and the west. Nations that have been opposing Israel throughout the history of Israel, opposing God, the God of Israel, and opposing the Jewish people, the people of Israel, throughout the history. Up till today, you see that the surrounding nations constantly seek to destroy the people of Israel, whom God seeks to preserve for the Messianic kingdom. And so, notice this, beloved brothers and sisters, in these verses 4 to 15, Zephaniah pronounced the judgment which will come upon the surrounding nations. He starts from the west, then he goes to the east, and then he goes down to the south, and he concludes with the north. And it is interesting that you have here these four directions. And you might say that it really goes even beyond the bordering nations, because every nation throughout history who sought to do away with the people of God, the people of Israel, eventually find themselves defeated. Again, let me remind you, beloved friend, beloved brothers and sisters, God's people are not perfect. God's people are sinful. God's people are people that have been, you might say, chosen by God. He didn't choose a perfect people, whether Israel or whether the church, the assembly. He chose a sinful people who needed to be redeemed. And these people, people who are just like other people, they needed forgiveness and they need to turn to Him. And even when those who have turned to the Lord and have accepted Him in Israel's history and church's history, that does not mean that they are always behaving the way that they ought to behave, the way that we ought to behave. We fail so much the Lord, and that's why we are so thankful that God made always the provision through the sacrifice. In days of old, it was the sacrifices mentioned in the book of Leviticus, the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, which spoke vividly, temporarily, was pointing to the Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, who came in the fullness of the time. And for us today, He is all these sacrifices in one. He is the burnt offering. He is the meal offering. He is the peace offering. He is the sin offering. He is the trespass offering. He is the altogether lovely one, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one that gave Himself in order to provide redemption for mankind. Well, in Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 to 7, we find out, first of all, that the judgment is going to come upon the Philistines on the west side of Israel, west-south side of Israel. And so notice, Zephaniah, for one reason or another, he only mentioned four of the five cities of the Philistines. And notice that he says in verse 4, "For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They that drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted out." Now this is, I found extremely interesting, because the Philistine, the Plishtim, were actually not mentioned initially as the people that were belong there in the land of Canaan. If you remember that when God had brought our people of old, the people of Israel, to the land before they enter into the land in Deuteronomy chapter 7, in the first few verses there, he never mentioned the Philistines. The people of Canaan, it says in Deuteronomy 7 verse 1, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee. And then he gave Israel the name of the Goyim Rabim, the many nations that were there in Canaan, the Hittite, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriage with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Why? Because for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods, so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you to destroy thee suddenly. This is exactly what God always have warned our forefathers, the people of Israel, against. Israel was to keep themselves a separated nation, but you notice that the Plishtim, the Philistines, are not mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 7, because the Philistines came later on and possessed those cities that later on they took over. In fact, the word Plishtim comes from the Hebrew word liflosh, and palash, liflosh, means to invade a place. If you remember, after Israel came out of the land of Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, when the Lord wanted to bring them into the promised land, it says in Exodus chapter 13 and verses 17 and 18, it says, and it came to pass when Paro had let the people go, that God led them not, listen to this, beloved brothers and sisters, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people will repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Very interesting, this passage, because God did not want to take Israel through the way of the Philistines, because they have already invaded these land, the coast land, and if Israel would have gone through this area, there will be conflict with them, with the Philistines, and ultimately Israel will be discouraged and they will want to go back to the land of Egypt. One more verse I want to read in the book of Deuteronomy that is also very helpful. We find out that in Deuteronomy chapter 1, it does say, these be the words, this is verse 1 and 2, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, and Lavan and Hazorea, and Dizab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. In other words, you can see that Israel could have come very quickly into the promised land, but Israel, of course, they rebelled and God had to allow them, instead of getting 11 days, enter very quickly into the promised land, they had to travel for another 40 years in the wilderness because their very own rebellion and disobedience to the God of Israel. So, the Philistines are mentioned on the west side of Israel, west-south, by the shore there. And you notice that Zephaniah mentioned four cities are mentioned here. And those four cities are basically in verse 4, Azza, Ashkelon, Ashdod and Ekron. Aza, Ashkelon, Ashdod and Ekron. We know from other passages, especially in the book of Joshua, that the Philistines actually had five cities. They had five lords of those cities. I want to give you the names and the passage in Joshua chapter 13 in verse 3. We read, let me just give it to you. It says in verse 3, from Shechol, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanites, five lords of the Philistines, the Gazites, the Ashdodites, the Eshkolanites, the Gittites, and the Ekronites, and so on, and also the Avites. But the five, as it says here, five lords of the Philistines, Aza, Ashdod, Ekron, Gat, and Ashkelon. And so those five cities of the people of the Philistines. Now, for one reason or another, we have here only mentioned Aza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, and Ekron in Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 4. But it is interesting that this nation, the Philistine, constantly had conflict with the people of Israel. In fact, the Samson was captured by the Philistines in Judges chapter 16. Then we know also that the Philistine defeated the children of Israel in Aphek, according to 1 Samuel chapter 4. You remember the man by the name of Goliath. He was the champion of the Philistines that David defeated in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Philistine also once again defeated the people of Israel on Mount Gilboa when King Shaul and his three sons were killed in 1 Samuel chapter 31. And we read that eventually the Philistines are defeated by King Hezekiah, as we read in 2 Kings chapter 18, and so on. And so there was a constant battle between Israel and the Philistines, who were living in the west of the center of Judah and Jerusalem. But now, in the day of the Lord, now as we arrive to the final time where God is intending to restore his people Israel, to judge this world, to establish a messianic kingdom, he promises that during that day of the Lord, he will eventually will destroy as well the Philistines. And so you notice, he says, Gaza shall be forsaken. Ashkelon will be a desolation. Ashdod will be driven out, and Ekron shall be rooted out. These interesting words, the Hebrew is very interesting, because when he used the word Aza, Azuva, Aza mean, Aza, he used the same root words of the name. Aza will be forsaken. In Hebrew, the word Azuva. Ashkelon, which is supposed to speak of fruit, will be Shmama. It will be a desolation. Shmama in Hebrew. Ashdod will now become chasten away in a noonday. It will be driven out. Ashdod yegarshuha in Hebrew, and Ekron te'aker. In Hebrew, Ekron is to come to root out. La'akor means to root out. So God is going to, Aza will be forsaken, Ashkelon will be a desolation, Ashdod will be driven out, and Ekron will be rooted up. And here, notice what it says in verses 5 and 6. And verse 7, we read, woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Goy Kritim. They are actually coming from the Kritim. The word of the Lord against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistine, I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant, and the seacoast shall be a dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks, and the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ashkelon, shall they lay down in the evening. For the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. Very interesting. You can see, beloved brothers and sisters, how eventually is the Lord intending to restore back his people, Israel. And you see that in order to do so, he will have to discipline and judge the surrounding nation. First one he mentioned here is on the west, south part of the portion of the land of Canaan, west of Jerusalem, west of Judah, south there by the seashore. And the people of the Philistines will be destroyed, as and eventually, notice, the cause shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. In other words, those that will remain at the end of the tribulation from among the people of Yehudah, they will eventually will dwell and possess the promised part of this land. And in this case, it's this area that is called Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, and also Gat, as well as the fifth name that we mentioned in the Joshua chapter 13. Now, today, by the way, Ashkelon is possessed by our people, the Jewish people. There is a city of Ashkelon, there is a city of Ashdod, there is Gat, this area as well, but, you know, it's still, Gaza is possessed by Palestinians today, but in the Messianic kingdom, in the last days, God will give this land to the people of Israel as he had promised it already long time ago when he had given Israel the land to possess. If you remember, the first time that the word Gaza is mentioned in the Bible, it's actually mentioned in Genesis 10 and verse 19. But if you will look further, God had promised this to the people of Israel, to the tribe of Judah, and we find out that Joshua smote them and so on in Joshua 10, and even unto Gaza. And so the portion of Gaza was given to the people of Judah as an inheritance, and yet Israel over the generation never had this land in its totality, and that's what's going to happen according to the word of God, as God has mentioned. So the judgment, the coming judgment of the day of the Lord will fall upon the Philistines. And there we have verses 4 to 7 of Zephaniah chapter 2, where the Philistines will be defeated and the land will be taken by the people of Israel in accordance with the word of the Lord. And I'm just going to repeat this verse that is found here in chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7, the seacoast shall be dwelling place and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks, and the coasts shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon, in the houses of Ashkelon shall they lay down in the evening. For the Lord their God shall visit them, and notice this expression, and turn away their captivity. That expression, shav shvutam, veshav shvutam. The word captivity is when the people of Israel have been in captivity for so many generations. Even up till today, the people of Israel from the day of the Babylonian, even until today, they are still, in a sense, are not completely out of the captivity. But we read, Elohim shav shvutam. Their God will turn away their captivity, as Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 7 preserved. This is very beautiful because we read it in many, many places in the Word of God. I just want to read Psalm 80, Psalm 80, verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Here is the cry of the Jewish people, especially during the time of the tribulation period. They're asking for the Lord to turn them back. Verse 7 of Psalm 80. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Once again, in Psalm 80, verse 19, the cry of the people of Israel, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Wonderful cry of the people of Israel who will seek the Lord to turn them back to himself, and they will repent, and the Lord will respond. You notice what we read in a psalm of ascent, Psalm 126, a song of degrees. When the Lord turn again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. Therefore we are glad, Israel would say. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weep and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You see, the tears and the sorrows that will be over the generation experienced by our people, the people of Israel, will ultimately come to an end when joy is going to come, that the Lord will do great things for us. Therefore, we are glad. These are just some verses that are so precious, beloved brothers and sisters, that speaks about the restoration of Israel. Isaiah in chapter 11 and verse 11 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamat and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This is Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12. What an amazing prophetic word we have, beloved brothers and sisters, concerning the restoration of Israel, but it's not before. The day of the Lord will come, and the judgment upon both Israel and the surrounding nations will come. So, the coming judgment of the day of the Lord will come upon the Philistines in the west. Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 to 7, the west of Judah and Jerusalem. Then notice in verses 8, 9, and 11, there is a coming judgment of the day of the Lord that will fall upon Moab and Ammon. These are, you might say, almost a family nation, because Moab and Ammon are the children of Lot, which he produced in a wrong way with his two daughters after the judgment that fell upon Sodom and Amorah, Sodom and Gomorrah. We read in verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, and I read verse 8. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. You notice, by the way, that here is the mentioning of the name of Moab and Ammon. Now, these were neighboring nations, this time on the east side of Israel. And if you remember, according to the book of Genesis, specifically in Genesis chapter 18, when God was planning to destroy Sodom and Amorah, and if you remember, beloved brothers and sisters, it was Lot who left his uncle Abraham and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then he moved closer to Sodom, and by the time we find him in the Genesis chapter 19, we find that he's already sitting in the gates of Sodom, and he became one of the elders of Sodom. Sadly to say, how far Lot have gone away from Abraham, his, you might say, brother or his uncle. It says here in Genesis 19, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. By that time he became, you might say, one of the elders of Sodom, but the condition of Sodom was so sad, the moral condition of Sodom was so sad that God said, I came to destroy the city of Sodom. And if you remember what happened, that when God had finally judged Sodom, it was even hard for Lot and his wife to leave Sodom. His wife turned back and looked at Sodom and became as a pillar of salt, where the Lord had to rain upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire that came down from heaven. And he overthrew the cities and the plain of all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. In other words, God completely destroyed the people and the city of Sodom because of homosexuality, because of that which was contrary to his word. And therefore, God had to judge Sodom. But sadly, Sodom represents, again, this is the eastern side of Judah and Jerusalem, and God had to destroy that city. And you notice what happened when finally he took out Lot and then his two daughters, and they went up there away from the city. And we find out that Lot's daughter got him drunk. They had a physical relationship with him, and that's how Moab and Moabite and Ammonite were born. I just want to read these verses. It says in verse 36 of Genesis chapter 19, thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. This is Genesis 19, verses 36 to 38. So what happened, according to history, Ammon and Moab became an enemy nation that always fought against the people of Judah and the people of Israel. So now the day of the Lord, of the tribulation days are coming, and Zephaniah predicting, looking forward to the future, predicting the coming day of the Lord, Yom Yehovah, and he does say in verse 8, I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, wherefore they have reproached my people and magnify themselves against their borders. Apparently, they even took more of the borders of the people of Israel. So God seen it. God have heard it. God have heard how they reproach Israel, reproach the Jewish people. So notice the pronouncing of the judgment. The judgment of Moab and Ammon will be just like it was in the time where God had to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 9 it says, therefore, as I live, says Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles, and the salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. It's very interesting, beloved brothers and sisters. You can see from these passages that, you see, Israel is still called my people. Israel is still called the people of God. In fact, God says in verse 9, therefore I shall, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. He still called himself the God of Israel when people of Israel were in a state of disobedience. That teaches us a tremendous lesson. A tremendous lesson. It's not even the issue of the spiritual state of his people, but the issue is his election, his sovereignty, his sovereign choice. God is the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth. He chooses. It is his will, and his will ultimately come to pass. Now, I know that we don't always like his will. We don't always agree with God's will. But frankly, beloved brothers and sisters, he doesn't ask us. God doesn't ask for our opinion. God wants us to submit to his word. Those of us who are believers in the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, when the world look at the church over the 2,000 years of church history, the world look and says, what kind of people of God these are? If they are the people of God, why this is happening in this world? Why they are in such a condition? Disobedience, rebellion, divisions, and on and on. Is this the people of God? Men might ask. Well, again, of course, it is wrong to be disobedient to the God of our fathers. It is wrong to live in sin and dishonor him. But nevertheless, God's election, God's sovereign choice changes not. That's why he will bring his plan to fruition regardless of how faithful his people were. They should be. And if they are not, he will discipline them, but yet he will bring to fruition all that which he had promised in his word. And this is a principle for us to learn. And so he will discipline eventually the Philistines on the west. And he will discipline eventually Moabites and the Ammonites on the east. It says in verse 10, this shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against, notice, the people of the Lord of hosts. In other words, the pride of Ammon and Moab against the people of Israel, they have reproached Israel over the generation. God will ultimately bring about his judgment against enemies of Israel on the east side through these verses, which are Moab and Ammon, and eventually he will have his people that will be possessing those lands that God had promised to them. We read in this verse 11 that the Lord will judge Moab and Ammon, and that eventually all will have to recognize that he is the one that all must worship. The Lord will be terrible, this is verse 11, unto them, for he will famish, notice, all the gods of the earth. Notice now he's going even beyond Moab and Ammon. All the idols, all the gods, the small g of the earth, all of them, he will famish them. They will have, you might say, no one to worship them because they are nothing but merely man-made gods, man-made idols. And then it says, notice, and men shall worship him, everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. This is a wonderful verse here in verse 11. The Hebrew word says here, Vayishtachavu lo ish mimkomo kol iyei hagoyim. all the isles of the Gentiles will ultimately, they will worship the true and living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true and living God, Jehovah himself. What a wonderful future will be when God will be all in all. No longer idolatry, no longer worship of man-made gods, no longer worship of the sun and the moon and the stars and all what man is created. That will come to an end when God will bring upon this world the day of the Lord, the tribulation days. You remember what Shaul Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorify him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 25. Shaul Paul, who knew very well the God of Zephaniah, the God of his fathers, the God of Israel, he mentioned it now when he wrote to the Roman believers, reminding them how far men have gone. Now the day of judgment had to come, where God going to judge this world in righteousness. Now I just want to read one more verse that is found in Acts chapter 17, where the same apostle Shaul Paul mentioned when he spoke about the coming day of judgment that will come upon the face of this world. He mentioned in Acts chapter 17, he says in verse 30, "And the time of this ignorant God winked it, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent." Why? And here's the answer in verse 31. "Because he has appointed a day." This is the day of the Lord, the day of Jehovah, the day of judgment. "Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness." And notice this, my dear friend, who gonna be the judge? Who gonna be the judge? "By that man," this is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, "whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead." You see, when the Lord Yeshua the Messiah came, he died, he was buried, and he rose again for our justification. And whoever believeth on him, he is or she is justified. But those that will refuse him, the judgment will come of the day of the Lord, which he, the Messiah, this man that once rejected, he will be the one who will become the judged. So now, beloved brothers and sisters, Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 to 7, God will judge in the day of the Lord the enemies of Israel on the west. Then Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, God will judge the enemies of Israel on the east and as far as it is possible, all the end of the age. So, on the west, the Philistines, the closest one. On the east, Ammon and Moab, the closest one, but it go beyond there to the, as it says here, the isles of the heathen. But now notice he's only allotting one verse that has to do with the south. This is the south of Israel, and he's using that name of the Ethiopians. It says here in verse 12, ye Ethiopian also, ye shall be slain by my sword, God is saying about Ethiopia. And of course, for one reason or another, Zephaniah received from the Lord only the name Ethiopia, but this is on the south of Israel. And Ethiopia also, and the people of the south of Judah, will also be those that will be judged by the sword, slain by the sword of the Lord during the tribulation days, during the coming judgment of the day of the Lord. And now, beloved brothers and sisters, to conclude this ministry in this portion, Zephaniah 2 verses 4 to 15, the final nation, the closest to Israel, is Assyria, Ashur in Hebrew. And here you notice in verses 13 to 15, the Lord is speaking through Zephaniah about the northern nation of Ashur, of Assyria. And so we read concerning the judgment of the day of the Lord that will fall upon Assyria. Verse 13, 14, and 15. And he will stretch out his hand against the north. Notice this time it's the north. And destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. And now notice what he says in verse 14 and 15. And flocks shall lay down in the midst of her, this is Nineveh, all the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant and the bittern shall lodge in the upper isles of it. Their voices shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the threshold, for he shall uncover the cedar work. It's very interesting here, brothers and sisters, he using that expression, this very difficult name, but basically he's speaking about the beasts that are the desert beasts. It says all the animals will settle there. The desert owl and a screech owl will roots on its ruins, columns, their call echoing through the gaping windows. Rubble will block all the doorways, and the cedar paneling will be exposed to the weather. This is a little bit different translation of this verse 14, but these names are like the pelicans and the bitterns and so on. Those are interesting kind of names. The owls, the screeching owl. So what we really see that the judgment will come upon the northern neighbor nation of Assyria, the neighbor of Israel. And you notice how he conclude here in verse 15. He says in verse 14 and 15, the reason for that is because it says, notice verse 15, this is the rejoicing city that dwelleth carelessly, that said in her heart, notice that, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. And notice they respond. They say, I am, there is none beside me. Another one, no one can do anything against me. I am, and there is none beside me, Assyria said. And it reminds us, beloved brothers and sisters, of pride. The pride of men. The pride of humanity. The pride of Assyria. Assyria was the nation that took Israel, the northern kingdom, into captivity. The Assyrian was the one that at 722 BC, they have taken the northern kingdom, allowed, of course, by God to take them captive, the Assyrian captivity. They have treated the people of Israel in a terrible way. They have brought pagan gods into Samaria. And they have, because Israel was influenced and have gone astray from the Lord, the Assyrians eventually have devastated the land, the northern portion of the land of Israel. And there was this pride in Assyria. We find out that about the king of Assyria. I just want to read a passage, a short passage in 2 Kings 19 and verse 9. 2 Kings 19, the Assyrians spoke against the God of Israel. It says in 2 Kings 19, verse 9, in the middle, he sent messengers, this is the king of Assyria, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, the king of Israel, the king of Judah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, and listen to these words, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered unto the hand of the king of Assyria. In other words, he is sending messages to tell Hezekiah, the king of Judah, don't let the God of Israel deceive you to say that you, that Jerusalem, will not be taken and delivered to the king of Assyria. He continued there in verse 11. Behold, thou hast heard what the king of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shall thou be delivered? In other words, he's saying to King Hezekiah, do you think your God can deliver you? In other words, the gods of the Assyrian and the king of Assyria is stronger than the God of Judah, than the God of Israel. In verse 12, he was comparing the idols to the true and living God, where he said, have the gods of the nation delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed? As Gozan and Haran and Resef and the children of Eden, which were in Telsar. In other words, he comparing the God of Israel to all these gods of the nation. It says in verse 13, where is the king of Hama and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim of Chena and Iva? In other words, where are those kings? Where are those kings? Their gods couldn't help you, couldn't help them, Hezekiah. Therefore, your God, Jehovah, couldn't help you. Notice in verse 14 what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers. This is the messengers of the king of Assyria in 2 Kings 19, verse 14. And then what he did, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and he spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine ear and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. In other words, King Hezekiah did the right thing by turning his heart to the God of Israel, to the Lord God of Israel, by telling him, you are the one that all the kingdoms of the earth were made by you. You are the one who made heaven and earth, not these gods. Not these idols. But you see, beloved brothers and sisters, God knows that. And God in his program, in his plan, gonna surely meet these nations in due time. Judgment delayed is not judgment forsaken. Judgment delayed is in order to cause someone to repent and turn to him, confessing him and her sins. But when this is not done, judgment will surely come. And so now notice that we read in the last verse of Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 15. It says, this is verse 15, this is the rejoicing city that dwells carelessly and said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. And notice what we read. How is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passes by her shall hiss and wag his hand. The word for hiss in the Hebrew word is yishrok. You know, it's like to whistle. Like when we say, oh boy, what happened to this city that once could say, I am, there is none beside me. Where is she now? And everyone will wag their hand, and they will move their hand and say, oh, who would imagine that that will happen to this, or that nation that once pride itself against the God of Israel? Well, beloved friend, beloved brothers and sisters, this is very humbling to read these passages in Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 4 to 15, and to speak about the day of the Lord which will come upon Israel's enemies, Israel's neighboring nations, the west side, the Philistine, the east side, Moab and Ammon, the south side, the Ethiopians, the north side, the Assyria, and to go beyond to all the ends of the earth, as it does say in verse 11. It says that men shall worship him, everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. That will only happen, beloved brothers and sisters, at the last days, at the end of the tribulation period, at the end of Yom Yehovah, the day of the Lord, when the final judgment going to come and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And everyone will have to recognize that God of Israel is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God eventually will take his rightful place in this world. Well, our prayer is that God will hasten that day and will bring about this final day of the end of the tribulation, the end of Yom Yehovah, the end of the day of the Lord. And ultimately, this world will enjoy 1,000 years of the reign of the Messiah, and God will be all in all. Well, we are looking forward for the day that it will come as soon as possible. We read in verse 14 of Habakkuk chapter 2, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. May this day be hastened, and the Lord will take his rightful place. Until that time, may the Lord open your heart if you are not yet a child of God. May the Lord touch your heart that you will come to know the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Accept him as your Savior, Mashiach, Lord, and embrace him and become a child of God. May the Lord bring it to pass. Well, God bless you. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.